Our next guest is really a legend in many circles, certainly here on the Power Hour. He's also a kind of a convergent of a lot of different, I don't know what you call them, eras, if you will. He comes from a different era, a different time in America. He talked earlier today, I talked about his parents were school teachers. We discussed that. I'm sure we'll get into that. He was a pioneer in the Black Panther movement. He is the definition of an activist and an empowered activist and want to empower people and do things and change the world. It's a pleasure to know him. It's a pleasure to have him back. It's been a while. Been way too long. Larry Pinkney, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Daniel, thank you so very, very much. I miss my family, but I'm always a part of that family. Thank you so very, very much. It's a pleasure being here today.
Yes, pleasure for us too, believe me. Why don't you, we always have new listeners, old listeners, or I'm sure excited to get more acquainted with you. Why don't you just give us a little background of your history, your entry into the Black Panther, just so people have a little background for you.
Okay, sure. My entry into the original, not to be confused with the so-called new Black Panthers, please don't confuse them. The original Black Panther Party I entered the party in 1967 in California and felt that I could do a lot of things, or at least minimally speaking, I could do a number of things to serve the people, the community. We had breakfast programs, food programs, education programs, senior citizens programs, and these are all programs that the party, when I say the party, I'm talking about the Black Panther Party, actually, we started. And of course, you never hear about that. The media will never tell you about that. And a host of other programs that the party had, and I worked in most of them as a part of them, and am to this day proud of that. Also, we believed strongly in the constitutional right to self-defense. I still believe in that. I don't care who it's for, be you black, white, brown, red, or yellow. You should have that right to defend yourself, period. So, I'm going to leave it at that, Daniel, and unless you want to gouge me and make me go further.
Well, it's a fascinating story, kind of the transference or the changing or what Black Panther was characterized as and then what it actually was, especially to begin with. You talked about the community. Talk about the focus. When you guys got together and you saw what was going on in the quote-unquote black community, you saw a need, and you kind of worked together. You got together. I mean, what was the environment like there? What was the mindset?
The mindset was, and this may sound very strange to people, but the mindset was educate yourself, educate ourselves. You know, one of the things that people who romanticize the party, and that upsets me as much as people who deprecate the party, because neither one of them really understand. It wasn't romantic in any way. We believed strongly in reading, believe it or not. And we every week, we were supposed to read two or three books and then come back and discuss those books in detail. And everything from Mahatma Gandhi to, well, you name it, across the board, different so-called ideologies, which I now tend to call, some of them are idiotologies, but that's another story. So I'm very, very happy that we did that and that I was a part of that, just a part. And we believe strongly in discipline. Be running around, talking foolish, acting foolish, you know, but discipline, be disciplined, discipline in mind, discipline in body, discipline in what you said and how you said it. So that was the mindset at that time. Now, remember, that was the 60s. We're now talking 2019, and it's a totally, totally, unfortunately, different bailiwag.
What was your relationship or contact with Huey P. Newton, and at what point did you, even back then, did you start to see the Black Panther Party change or being takeover or co-op? Did you see any of those things?
Well, I knew Huey very well, very well. I mean, personally, we were personal and political friends on a personal level and a political level. To answer the other part of your question, did I see the party being changed? Yes, unfortunately. The party was being infiltrated. What we called agent provocateurs were coming in, and this was being done by none other than the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, etc. And the name of the game was to, under the counterintelligence program, and I'm quoting directly, was to imprison, to frame, to expose, to set up, and to murder. This is a direct quote as relates to COINTELPRO, the so-called counterintelligence program, which was directed primarily against the party, but not only the Black Panther Party, but primarily against the party. So that's why a lot of people, even to this day, don't really have an idea or a genuine, true, factual idea of what the party was actually all about. Sadly, yes, it was changed in many respects from where it began, where its roots were.
What was the threat that the FBI saw? COINTELPRO, you know, I'm sure CIA was involved. What was the threat they saw in the Black Panther that they wanted to get their hooks into it so bad?
Well, I can quote directly in my own FBI file what it said, and then I'll talk about the party as a whole. What they said about me was that I posed a danger, a serious threat, because of my ability to, quote, unify Black, white, and Chinese, end of quote. Think about that. Now,
wow.
My ability to unify came in very large measure from the party itself, the party leadership, what I saw in terms of the objectives of the party, the goals of the party. And the feds were, as far as COINTELPRO, very, very fearful of that. The last thing they wanted was unity, sort of like today. They don't want to see people unified. They'd rather deprecate the president, but let me not digress.
What progress did you see maybe at the genesis of the Black Panther Party, and then what progress do you see today compared? You know, have we, in about 50 years ago, that's about what it is, have we made any progress?
To be blunt, I have to say, and this is very painful to say, I think we've gone backwards. I really do. Initially, you know, in its genesis, the party was about reaching out, building our community, our communities, plural, reaching out to people of other ethnicities, working with people, and trying to get all of us to understand the need to be self-sufficient. Bill, stop depending on the government for this or the government for that. Take care of your own communities. And this is something as simple as gardening, even today, gardening, self-sufficiency, food, sustaining oneself, sustaining one's community. But even, of course, beyond that, and I was very excited to see those that mentality that existed. Now, today, why, I can't say this. I can only say that the government and the COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program, etc., have done a horrendously effective job at destroying much of the mentality that existed in those years. Now it's all about me, myself. It's all about what can I get versus what can I do for the people, Black, white, brown, red, and yellow. And it's all about pimping, and I mean politically pimping, because that's what we see constantly happening in this so-called Black leadership, which is not leadership, it's misleadership. It's all about them pimping. And it's sad because so many of us paid very serious prices, horrendous prices, to see this today. The so-called Congressional Black Caucus, what a bunch of, well, I won't use the language on the phone. Let me just say it's disgusting. you know, it's just disgusting. So we have a lot of work to do.
let me interject before you lose your religion over there. we have a situation in Chicago, for example, right now, where a lot of killings, very high rate of killings, big majority of them are from guns. You see, quote unquote, black leadership, when they come out to talk about these communities and talk about solving problems, it seems like all they talk about is more money, more money, more money, and less guns, less guns, let's get rid of guns, like that's going to solve anything. I just don't see a spiritual core, a really sustainable type, what's the word I'm looking for? A message, a sustainable message. I don't see it. All I see is get rid of the guns and we need more money. That's it.
Well, that's what I meant, Daniel, when I said they were and are political pimps. Okay, they know full well, not just Chicago, but Detroit, Philadelphia, East L.A. The list is an endless list that won't be missed. It goes on, and it's the same old thing. They're political pimps. They need to have, and I'm talking especially about these so-called Democrats, they need to have, okay, these kinds of horrendous things taking place in these cities, in these communities, especially the black community. They don't want to see the killing stop. I don't care what they say. Look at what they do. The proof of the pudding is in the taste. Yeah, they want money, and where do you think that money goes? It pads their pockets. That's what it does. And we need to be honest about that. Myself and a number of other black Americans are in the process of organizing and pushing for holding this black misleadership class accountable for their dastardly deeds. So let's be honest, and I'm very honest, I'm very blunt, I'm very direct. It's their political pimp. And then they throw in the thing about racism, racism, racism. Well, black people kill more black people, especially young black people, kill more black people than the Ku Klux Klan ever has. Okay? We need to be honest about that. And the Democrat Party in particular likes it that way. Because then they can whine and complain and keep on, oh, how horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. And they facilitate it. So I just have to be very blunt, and like I said, it's not just Chicago. It's East L.A., it's Philadelphia, it's Detroit, et cetera, et cetera.
Allow me to kind of go on, and I'll form a question here. But we've seen, you know, white America, black America, the divide, and in quote unquote white America, they're given this image of black America. Oh, it's a bunch of drug dealing killers. And that's separate from them. Now we're seeing with the opioid crisis, Baltimore, other cities, you know, now white women, quote unquote, are, you know, getting prescriptions and they're getting hooked and their lives are being ruined by the same things that ruin black communities. You know, drugs ruin communities. Mm-hmm. And so now there may be some sympathy towards this or some like, oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? And looking at the real people who are causing the problems, the FBI, the CIA. The CIA was the biggest drug dealer, the biggest crack dealer in L.A. in the 90s. I mean, that movie just came out about it. The question I'm kind of forming here and all these things, because your story is incredibly, incredibly important, and I don't want to overstep this, and I don't want to miss this. At the turn of the century, meaning the 1900s, early 1900s, the black community in many of these cities, I mean, let's just talk openly. I mean, there's nothing, you know, I could talk openly with you about race. I feel like I can anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of slavery in the 1860s, obviously there was an isolation with the black community. There was a lot of frustrations. There was a lot of problems. The black communities began to form and strengthen and bond themselves. Mm-hmm. We know through research, through many things, those black communities many times had higher literacy rates, higher mm-hmm. marriage rates, higher or less illegitimate children rates. All these mm-hmm. things were measurable in a lot of these communities. And then we saw what the government did. Government couldn't have any of that and then used the black community as a divisive issue. And then it became black and white. You fast mm-hmm. forward to the early 60s, mid 60s, you get involved in Black Panther. It's the same thing over again. Your story and your empowerment of those communities and what you and all those men, young men tried to do is unbelievable. And to see, this isn't conjecture, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you can look at Larry Pinkney's file. He's dangerous because he unites people. What the government did, what it did, what these people did through these mechanisms to sabotage these efforts, this is a crucial, crucial, crucial story. And I hope because it's, you know, the Black Panthers or it's the Black community, that we don't push it aside, that we look at it and learn from it. Really, you guys and what you did in the Black Panther Party became an obvious canary in the coal mine to really what's going on in all of America right now.
Well stated. Well stated. Canary in the coal mine. Well stated. You know, and the fact is, let's go back to that word American, okay? Black American, white American. The thing is, we are American. We are one country. Do we have problems? You bet we do. I know of no country that doesn't. But I know of no country either that has made the achievements that this country has made. With all of its fallacies, with all of its mistakes, the achievements. And this is where and I go back to the divisiveness. See, they want to keep us divided and in fear. That's one way of keeping people divided. You put out misinformation, disinformation, therefore you keep people in fear. I'm going to give an example. I'm going to use the example of the president. Okay, they've called the president, President Trump, a racist. Really? He wasn't a racist when he got the big award from the NAACP for what he did for blacks. He wasn't a racist when he got yet another award from the Urban League, a national black organization, for what he did for blacks. Oh, he only became a quote-unquote racist when? Oh, after he won the election. Okay? I mean, this is what I mean by vomit. I don't want to get carried away, but this is what I mean by how they keep us divided. It's vomit. They regurgitate vomit. And we have to be smart enough, have enough common sense, which is not so common these days, to turn that off and to turn to each other, because that's therein lies our power, our strength is in each other. MSNBC, CBS, ABC, the Clinton News Network, none of them matter. We matter, each other, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. And it is as simple as that. We don't have to, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that.
I want to switch gears a little bit, slightly, but same, similar subject. Let's go back to, or let's go forward to 2019, 18, 17. Minnesota, you're familiar with the area a little bit, and we have the Representative Omar there. What is going on with Minnesota? We hear a lot of rumors. We hear a lot of things with, you know, it seems to me, you correct me, that basically the Obama administration's pumped a huge amount of Muslim immigrants into a small area there in Minnesota and got Omar elected. I mean, am I off base? Am I wrong?
Well, you're correct. The fact of the matter is that Minnesota, and in particular, well, the whole state of Minnesota, but in particular the Twin Cities, as they're called, Minneapolis and St. Paul, have more Somali Muslims than any other part of the United States. Now, that did not happen by coincidence or osmosis. That was deliberate.
Osmosis.
Okay? And who took advantage of that? Who took advantage of that? It was the Democrats, okay? Now, Omar, who was given refuge in this country, in our country, not just this country, our constitution, our republic, and our president, okay? She was given refuge in this country, and the first thing she did as a so-called representative, she's certainly not our representative, she's not mine, okay? First thing she did, even before she was quote-unquote elected to the position, was she said she wanted to impeach the president. Excuse me? And then calls him a racist? Well, people should really study Somali culture as I have. Okay? People should understand that the Somali Muslims have their own caste, C-A-S-T-E system. Okay? We need to understand that. Stop going for the ghost, or as Malcolm would say, stop being bamboozled. So in Minneapolis, and in Minnesota, in particular Minneapolis, the situation is one that I find almost unbelievable. Whites, with all due respect, these neoliberal fascist whites, they just, I don't know, they self-deprecate themselves. how could this person, who has not even lived in this country for 20 or 25 years, not even lived, okay, here, how could this person possibly represent the interests of all the people? Well, that's not why she was put in that position by the Democrats. She's put in that position to divide, and throw out nonsense. You know, all this virtue signaling nonsense. We have to turn that off. But I hope I've responded specifically to what you said.
You mentioned, yes, it's very, all this, see, all these pieces you're putting together, you are central to this. Your message and who you are, the person you are. Once you, you know, I've talked to Larry a good little bit off air. And you get the feeling and you know him, you can see why Larry is dangerous to certain agendas. You can see why the target was put right squarely on him and the people that were doing this in the Black Panther. You can see it. You mentioned Malcolm X. Malcolm X was murdered, obviously. Why was Malcolm murdered? Why was he such a threat? Similar? What was your perspective?
Malcolm was not a threat initially. You see, as long as Malcolm was running around talking about cultural black nationalism and whitey this and the white devil that, why, the government loved that. But as Malcolm got older and matured, he realized, hey, what am I doing? He changed. He evolved and said, wait a minute, it's about all people. That's when Malcolm became extremely dangerous, and that's when Malcolm had to be assassinated, murdered, killed. And he was in the most bloody fashion right in front of his baby children and wife. But this is a lesson to be learned. It is a lesson to be learned. I have the honor and privilege to have met Malcolm in 1961 and spoken with him for a few minutes. But that's another story.
Well, let's save that for the other side. There's the music. There's a commercial. Larry Pinkney. Wow. It's an honor to talk to you, Larry. God bless you.
Thank you.
We'll continue on the other side. ThePowerHour.com, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Martin Petello was on yesterday to talk about the magnesium oil, how important it is, how easy it is to use and flexible. You have to have magnesium. The magnesium calcium balance, the salt potassium balance, the Himalayan salt, all those products are on sale at the Power Mall. Of course, Toppers and Lou Paradise today. A natural way to begin the body's own healing mechanism of pain and other things, actually. Strauss Heart Drops, free shipping on that. Please take advantage. We're going to stock it. We're going to have it for you. We know how important it is to you. Of course, 20% off of a few different things. We have a little bit left of the Willard Water. I think, at least by this morning, I think the protein powder and the bedding spray for the dogs, or dog and bedding spray, Silver Shield. But you can use that in the bathroom. You can use that anywhere. I just don't use it for dog. That stuff is fantastic. And it doesn't have that, you know, those chemical smells or aerosol smell. It doesn't have those phthalates in it. So you can spray it, and it's got essential oils in it and colloidal silver, so you know it's not poisoning you at the same time you're trying to get rid of an odor. And colloidal silver actually kills an odor. It's not masking an odor with chemicals, which is even worse. But all those at the on sale at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. We are in the middle of a really engaging, to me, I hope you feel that, ladies and gentlemen, an engaging conversation with the one and only Larry Pinkney, one of the original Black Panther members, or at least in its infancy, Black Panther members, knew Huey P. Newton, met Malcolm X, what have you. We'll get to the story about Malcolm, but you mentioned COINTELPRO. One of the things that made me upset about Joyce, and I didn't do this before she passed, she had documents and information about COINTELPRO nailing the government exactly what they did. And she talked about it, you know, a couple of years before she left. She said she wants to pass them on, and I never got them because everything that went on. I was so frustrated. COINTELPRO, for people who hear that, please define what is COINTELPRO.
Okay, first of all, let me spell it. It's COIN, as in Nancy, TELPRO, COINTELPRO, all right? It stands for Counterintelligence Program. The Counterintelligence Program was literally a program set up primarily by the FBI, also, of course, working in conjunction with the CIA and other, quote-unquote, federal government agencies. It was set up to specifically, and I repeat, to specifically to frame, to imprison, to expose, and to murder political activists, all right? Not just the Black Panther Party. We were a primary target, but it was not just us, and it was not just black people. People need to understand that. Okay? I've studied my history. I know it. I know it well. COINTELPRO, in many respects, has not died. It has simply metamorphosed. It has evolved. All right? Now they call it other names. But it's still essentially the same. And it's a system meant to divide. COINTELPRO said, when I say COINTELPRO, I mean documents on COINTELPRO said that they wanted to keep there from being, to prevent there being a quote, now this is a quote, of keep another Messiah from arising. Keep that in mind. Who would that Messiah be? Okay, was it Malcolm? Was it Dr. King? Was it, who was it? They didn't care who it might be. Keep that, and that's their term, Messiah. Keep them divided, all of us. And we need to grow up, and we better do it quickly. Because today, it's what we're seeing is COINTELPRO on steroids. But only it's different in the sense of now it's more secretive. Okay? That's all COINTELPRO actually was about. You can Google it. Just put it in. See what comes up. Use your common sense. People don't like to talk about it because, oh my God, it exposes exactly the president refers to as the deep state. And that was the deep state, believe me, a large, large component of the deep state. But anyway, I hope I try to keep things very simple and clear and not get over dramatic. Just boom, like they say on Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts.
Well, you don't have to be over dramatic. This is dramatic. I mean, this is the heart and soul of our country where we allowed them to put a wedge, them, the deep state, it, the government, put a wedge between, what we wanted, between the Declaration of Independence, between the unalienable rights that we're endowed with and being subjects to some corporate overlords. That's basically what we're talking about here. You mentioned meeting Malcolm X in the early 60s. Maybe talk about that quickly. And then in 63, Kennedy was assassinated. What went through your mind when that happened? And what did Huey P. Newton think about that? What did some of your other Black Panther brethren feel about that event? And then, of course, Bobby Kennedy.
Yes. Well, let me try to answer all of that very quickly. One, I met Malcolm years before I joined the party. In fact, I was still on the East Coast. My cousin he was more like a big brother to me, who just passed, and may he rest in peace, who was an Army veteran, a U.S. Army veteran in both Korea and Vietnam. Anyway, my cousin at the time was in college at Morgan State College, now Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland. 10 years older than me. He wanted me to see Malcolm because he was among the students who was bringing Malcolm in to speak to their college campus. Okay. Long story short, he got permission from my parent to go, that I could go with him. It was wonderful. I actually saw Malcolm, spoke to Malcolm for about 15, 20 minutes. Malcolm spoke to me like an adult, not like a child, not like a fool, not like an idiot. I'm not saying children are fools or idiots, but he talked to me with me, not down to me. Malcolm was a big man, had a big smile. I always remember that about Malcolm, was his incredible smile. And he was a very gentle man. That was 61. Now, it was years later. I didn't join the party or leave the East Coast to join the Black Panther Party until 67. I joined the party in 67, and that was in California. All right? Huey and Bobby and a lot of us talked about the assassination not only of Malcolm, but of Bobby Kennedy. And by the way, the school that I went to in Los Angeles, the assassination took place about less than 2 miles from the school that I attended, which was Fairfax High School. And I shall always, always, always remember it because I was there at that time, just as I was there when Martin was assassinated. When I say there, I mean I was in L.A. at that time. But Bobby was actually in L.A. when he was assassinated at the Biltmore Hotel. detail. But anyway, we all felt a sense of incredible loss, L-O-S-S, incredible loss, not only for ourselves, but especially for our country as a whole. You notice I say our country as a whole. I didn't divide it into, oh, for black folk, for white folk, for brown folk. No, our country as a whole. To this very day, I still feel a sense of loss. And I think we have the obligation, one, to ourselves, and two, to those brothers and sisters, to carry on, to intensify. I really, really do. We owe that to them, and we owe it to ourselves.
Your people may not know this, but your parents were school teachers in a different time, certainly. And how would you contrast that, maybe comment on that, compared to today? What does school mean today? What would you tell people today about, quote-unquote, public school?
Well, the sad thing about it is the public school system has been sabotaged to the point where it is virtually ineffective and even dangerous. My parents, yes, I come from a family, first of all, of farmers, school teachers, and U.S. military personnel. Okay, that sums up basically the occupations of my family. My mother would bring students home, literally, and we lived in lower middle class family, right? Would bring them home, and they would have to do the same chores that myself and my sibling had to do: wash the dishes, clean the floor, clean the walls, do our homework, etc., etc. Okay, of course, you could never do that today, never. But that was to instill both discipline and love, but it's called disciplined love, okay, into those youngsters. And when they went back to school, to the classroom, they were like different human beings, like, wow, because they had been exposed to that. And I give especially my parents credit for that. I saw that, we saw that, my sibling and myself. And today, however, oh, maybe the best fix is to leave it, you know, to leave it, meaning get away from this corrupt, despicable so-called public education system. It's not education. It's brainwashing. It's misleading. It's despicable. And telling our kids, our young people, oh, you don't have to be a girl. You don't have to be a boy. What do you feel like today? This is insane. And I'll
child
stop
abuse.
Right there.
It's yes. Child abuse.
To say the very least. You know? To say the very least.
You used the word dangerous, and I couldn't agree more with you. Dangerous. That's a good way. It's dangerous. It is dangerous to put a susceptible child's mind in that environment, and what do you expect is going to come out of it? I talked to several of my friends, the board operator. We had discussed homeschooling, and he says he homeschools children up until about high school, and they did really well. And, you know, you can see once they high school and you instill them in certain values, at least if you put them in high school at that point, at least they have some basis. You're talking about 5 and 6 year old children learning things from the school that I would have never dreamed even existed when I was 5 or 6. It's child abuse.
Mm-hmm. 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 And we need to put a stop to it. It's gone too far. Lord knows it's gone too far. We need to not only put a stop to it, we need to reverse it. And these maniacs, these ludicrous, okay, neoliberal fascists running around talking about, yeah, well, they can determine what they are. At 3, 4, 5 years old, excuse me, they must have lost their minds or think we have.
God almighty, it is crazy. The dangerous, talking about something else dangerous. You mentioned earlier about vomit media, vomit stream media, some people call mainstream media, vomit media, and it's danger. Why do you see danger in media?
I see danger in media, particularly media that It's not of us. And when I say of us, I mean everyday ordinary people. It's not of us. It comes from big corporations, and with their thing is they have their agenda, whether it's ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, what I call the Clinton News Network, all of them, okay? They all have their same talking points. Do you ever wonder why they all have the same talking points on the same day? Come on. How can that happen in a free media, in a real media? Okay? And I call it the vomit stream media because they constantly regurgitate the same fabrications, lies, omissions. But it's vomit. It is vomit. Metaphorically speaking, it is vomit. Therefore, I refer to the so-called mainstream media as what it is, the vomit stream media. We need to turn it off, get away from it, stay in touch with other folks, encourage other people to get away from it, be our own media, like this show, like this program, like the Power Hour. Be our own media. That's where the power lies. And when we say power to the people, we meant it.
Wow. That was inspiring. I'm ready to bust through a wall. you got me fired up. You know, Joyce named this the Power Hour. This is the Power Hour,
yeah.
And it's very apropos what you just said, that we want you to have the power. We want you to be filled with information that you get on the show and feel inspired or have, you know, knowledge base that increases your ability to deal with things, but power. And, you know, we don't get checks from George. George Soros doesn't write us a check. Disney didn't buy us like they did Fox. We don't get a check from Mickey Mouse. We get checks from you all. This is your show. And to have your voice on this is just so appropriate. Do you see, you know, shows like this, other shows out there, do you see an awakening? Do you see a certain percentage of the population that is pulling back the curtains and is able to see through the mirage and able to take action through this? Do you feel optimistic about that?
Yes. Absolutely, unequivocally, absolutely, yes. I don't give a rat's petunia what the vomit stream media says. Yes, I see it every day, even amongst the black community, white community, brown community, red community, our community, America. I see it. Yes, there is an awakening happening, and we are the modus and the modus operandi. That's got to be our modus operandi. Make sure that we are a part of that awakening. But absolutely, that is one thing I'm extremely positive about. I'm very happy about. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. But Lord knows, as James chapter 2, verse 26 says, faith without works is dead. And we're going to work. We're putting it to work, and I see it happening across the board. I'm very positive. I'm very happy. I'm very humbled and delighted and pleased about that, even though I know we have one heck of a task ahead of us.
There's a scene in The Wizard of Oz, you know, talking about Dorothy or illusions. At one point, the wizard speaks and everybody trembles in fear and it totally controls the people. Then the curtain is pulled back by the dog and then the wizard is still speaking, but now his words are like echoing in a tin can. They're meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a metaphor for us in this media that you're talking about. You know, at some point, Walter Cronkite got up there and talked about, Lee Harvey Oswald killing Kennedy, and it shook the world, and it meant something. But now, you know, this media gets up there, and they say, and it's meaningless. I mean, it's getting
right to
that point.
We need to train Totos. You know, Toto the dog. We need to all
train
Toto to pull the curtain back. Train, make sure, Toto, get that curtain. Pull it back, okay? And this is really what it's all about. I love that metaphor because it speaks to exactly where we are today. More so now than even when The Wizard of Oz came out.
Certainly. I have been under the opinion, and I was on Jeff French's show the other day, and he was... not negative, but, you know, just realistically where we are. We were kind of discussing it, and they're doing this. I'm of the opinion they, whoever they are, the deep state, this plan, obviously it's against unity. Obviously it's against community. It's against family. It's against mothers, fathers, children. It's against individuality. It's against the Declaration of Independence. Obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just, it's obvious. We don't even need to talk about it. The plan that they have that they're executing, and it using the government, which is an it, not a they. Government is it. They need our participation. I believe this 1,000%. They will not be able to overcome or execute their plan without our participation, without our permission, so to speak, even
without
backhanded
our
permission.
Our complicity.
There you go. They need us.
Yes. They need us a lot more than we need them, and we don't need them at all. And let me just say this, to as Smokey Robinson would say, to second your emotion, let me just back this up by saying what Harriet Tubman said. Harriet Tubman said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if I could have only convinced them they were slaves. They only knew they were slaves.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's a direct quote. Look it up, okay? And this applies to all of us. I don't care what our color is. I don't care what our gender is, male, female, black, white, brown, red, yellow. I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if they only knew they were slaves. And what we're trying to do is to signal that we're on a plantation. We're slaves. Get off, get off, get off now. And so, yeah, I just had to back you up on that one, bro.
Well, I see it as, you know, if we're talking biblical, I see it as Babylon. Babylon is trying to swallow up all that's good. God created, we're created in God's image. We have the ability, we have freedom. This is not, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a religious, I'm not spouting a religion. This is, it's like self-evidence. Thomas Jefferson, these things are self-evident. We are created. We're endowed. We have life. We have liberty. All these things. It's self-evident. That is the American ethic. And to see organizations come down on that and to really see when you start to awake to the simplicity, the simplistic nature of the attack of all that we have been endowed with, all that we are, the divinity within us to reduce us to slaves. It is all about that. Simple. It is all about that. And to see a voice or hear a voice like yours, Larry, is inspiring. It is inspiring. We have a couple more minutes. Anything you want to address?
Well, I want to thank the Power Hour family, and I also want to pay homage and respect to dear, dear Sister Joyce Riley. I miss her. Her spirit is still with us, always will be. I'm so thankful to have known and been able to spend, you know, time on the show with Joyce, and of course with you, Daniel. You are following not only in her footsteps, but you're creating a wider path that even more people can be a part of. So I want to thank you, thank the show. I want to thank Catherine. You know, the producer, I really mean this. It is wonderful, as we have used to say in the day, and I still say, I mean it, all power to the people, black, white, brown, red, yellow. We will unify, and if they can't handle it, tough, get out of the kitchen.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. You mentioned about a minute, well, a little over a minute, a couple minutes. You mentioned you were working with some community activists and whatever. You were getting together and doing some things even now. What are you up to now?
Well, basically, it's people in D.C., New York, California, certain parts of California, and these are primarily what we're trying to do is to wake black Americans up. Wake up. Wake up. Get off the plantation. Choose. Get on. And that's what we're working on. And we're calling out the Republican rhinos, too. Don't get me wrong now. Okay, we know rhinos when we see them, okay. But we're trying to work hard to expose black people to the hypocrisy of the Democrat plantation. And so I'm working with a brother by the name, especially with a brother by the name of Dr. Randy Short, who would be a great guest for you to have on. I thank you all.
Yes, I would love it. Catherine, I hope you're listening. Yes.
But yeah,
last
that's
thought.
What we're doing.
Last thought, I totally forgot to bring this up. We were going to talk about this. Abortions. You know, abortions are, have spread throughout America. It's actually starting to pull back, especially in the South, the Midwest. I am shocked that no black leaders, or very few, you being one of them, black leaders who have come out and said, hey, more black people are aborted than born. This is genocide. Your comment about this?
All I can say is that it is genocide. Let's be honest. Let's stop playing with ourselves. Let's stop this intellectual masturbation. It is genocide. It was meant to be. It is being carried out as such. And I don't want to hear any touchy-feely, feely-good nonsense. Okay? And we need to all wake up to it, and that includes black people. Genocide, okay? People make their decisions. They therefore have to live with those decisions. I made a decision to join the party. I have to pay for that every single day, right up to the present. But you know what? If I had it all to do it all over again, I'd do it all over again.
What do you make of schools not teaching, last thought, the Declaration of Independence, that idea? That, to me, to this show, that it's worth more than our life, the Bill of Rights, it's worth more than just about anything. Your thoughts on the Declaration of Independence? We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created, endowed by their Creator. What does that mean to you?
It means everything to me. And by men, we're obviously talking about men and women. Okay, we know that in the century that we're living in. We know we're talking about all people, all people. They don't teach it because they dare not allow people to think. They don't want our young people to think. They don't want our young people to think. So we've got to do it. We've got to do it. Thank you. I love you, man. Thank you so much, my brothers and sisters in the Power Hour audience.
Larry, the feeling is more than mutual. It's been inspiring to talk to you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not inspired, I don't know. Check your pulse. I don't know. Larry is inspiring, and this story is seminal, important to what is going on right now, and I hope that you learned something. I hope that you pass this on and get a copy of this. Catherine will email blast the link of it to you. This is a very important interview, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. We'll have you on again soon, Larry. Alex Newman's going to be filling in tomorrow for The New American, and then we'll be back at the end of the week. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Hold your children and your family close. We'll talk to you soon.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.